Chaedon knelt in a cavern beside a pool of water, deep beneath the desert's surface. The cavern's darkness enveloped her, as did the chill air. It smelled clean here, unsullied, a place that might have remained hidden throughout all the history of the kings of Sharakai, perhaps longer. In her hands, she held a thick golden bracelet. She turned it over again and again, feeling its weight, touching the oval stone, roughing her skin against the intricate designs worked into the gold. "Speak to me," she said. "This time, speak to me." The echoes went on and on. The bracelet had once belonged to King Misut, the Jackal King, but now it served as an indictment of all the kings, and even of the gods themselves. It was not the band itself that provided evidence of their treachery, but the onyx stone. Even now she could feel the souls of the 17 dead Asirim within it, clamouring for freedom, pleading for their release. Chaedon was desperate to give it to them, but after 6 weeks of trying, she still had no idea how. On the night of the great battle in King's Harbour, Misut had summoned them forth as whites and set them against Chaedon and Sahid Alaz, the king of the 13th tribe, the crowned Asir who had kissed her and set her on this strange new path. It had been a desperate moment, but she had managed to sever Misut's hand and take the golden band from him. She'd pleaded with the ghostly souls to take their revenge against Misut, and they'd answered, descending on Misut like buzzards. Each rake of their terrible claws had brought them exultation, a taste of their long-awaited revenge. But the joy had been short-lived. No sooner had Misut succumbed to his wounds than they'd been drawn back into their prison and chained once more. The trick to freeing them had eluded her ever since. "By your grace," Chaedon whispered to the goddess Nalame, cleaving open her mother's flame-shaped locket. She took out the last of her Adhikara petals. Her mouth watered at the floral scent, and when she placed it beneath her tongue, the mineral taste rushed through her. It warmed her limbs, drove away the cold humidity of the cavern in a way that a fire never could. Clipping the locket closed, she breathed deeply, closed her eyes, and welcomed the sensations that came. She felt the Asir, Karim, somewhere high above her. He was outside the cavern, roaming among the rocks, she guessed. He seemed reticent, as if he were hiding his thoughts and emotions from her. He didn't like the bracelet. He had told her so. She could feel the revulsion within him, though whether it was from the constant reminder of his own fate or concern for the souls trapped within, she couldn't say. Opening her mind further, she beckoned the souls nearer. When they retreated, she searched for the onyx's boundaries, tried to define them in some way so that she might learn more about the souls within. But as it had every other time she'd done this, the gemstone felt unknowable. A star in the sky, well beyond the ken of mortal man. When she had taken petals in the past, in or near Sharakai, she could always sense the blooming fields and the Asirim below, trapped in their sandy graves. Even now she could feel them, far, far to the west of the cavern where she and Karim now hid. She'd thought by using the petals she would feel the Asirim in the onyx. She'd hoped to be able to puzzle out its secrets, to use the Asirim's shared bond to free them from their prison, or failing that, simply speak with them, as she did with Karim. To no avail. She had been rebuffed over and over again. Not once in the weeks following the great battle in King's Harbour had she felt nearer to her goal. "Speak," she said, that lone word echoing in the cave. "But one word, and I'll know this is not a lost cause." Her only reply was a miasma of anguish, fear, confusion, and hatred. The same as always. Her concentration was broken, as it was so often of late, by the growls and yapping of wolves. She was tempted to simply let it go on, but when the sound became more fierce, and she felt panic emanating from Karim, she pulled away from the souls in the bracelet. "Forgive me," she whispered, and rushed up the winding tunnel toward the sun.